The following is a Sankirtana send off lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on November 1st, 2009, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
So, this Hare Krishna mantra, it is Amrit, it is nectar. Of course, the word Amrit means deathless. Amrit means death, and Amrit means no death. So this Hare Krishna mantra, it bestows deathlessness. So now we are living in the place known as Marchaloka, the world of death. So there is no greater gift that one can give to someone who is in the world of death than deathlessness. And therefore, one who distributes Krishna consciousness to the dying, dead persons is the greatest well-wisher of the living entities, the greatest well-wisher of humanity. So many people are awarded prizes for their humanitarianism. The Nobel Prize, you see. But are they giving deathlessness? And those people who give the Nobel Prize, are they who receive the Nobel Prize, are they giving deathlessness? No. Mr. Nobel himself, who began the Nobel Prize, was he deathless? No. He's dead and gone, you see. So the Nobel Prize committee, they are not deathless. The Nobel Prize recipients, they are not deathless. Those persons who have received Harinam, taken Harinam into their hearts, they are deathless. And those persons who bestow Harinam upon others, they are the greatest of the deathless. Nachatasmans bhuteshu kashchin me priyakrittamaha pavitame chame tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. Krishna says that that person who bestows deathlessness, there is no one more dear to be he, nor dear to me than he, nor will there ever be anyone more dear than that person. So, do you want to become dear to Krishna? You want to become Krishna Priya, dear to Krishna? The insider's secret is just distribute His mercy. That's all you have to do. Become a preacher. Distribute Krishna consciousness. Distribute all, chant Hare Krishna in the public with enthusiasm to attract the people to the holy name. Distribute Prabhupada's books, distribute prasadam. Give your personal, be a transmitter for the mercy of Krishna and Prabhupada by your own loving dealings with those persons who are entrapped within birth and death. You see, that is Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna consciousness movement is not eating and sleeping. You understand? It's not eating and sleeping. Even eating prasadam, of course that's part of it. But the Krishna consciousness movement means to move forward the Krishna consciousness on this planet, to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. That's what it really means. When you're really moving places, when you're really going places, that means you're distributing Krishna consciousness. In other words, that is the secret of how to advance quickly in Krishna consciousness. That mood of preaching, you see. This is what Prabhupada appreciated the most. Those who were keen for spreading this movement. I was very fortunate when I joined the movement. I was attracted by one devotee. His name, you may have heard his name, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami. He attracted me to join this movement. And he was very keen to distribute this movement, spread it. In fact, being around him was like being at a... Sometimes devotees have these huge festivals, you know, and it's a big festive atmosphere. Everybody's enlivened by the festivities. Vishnu Jnana Maharaj was a one-man festival. He had a constant festival going on, 24 hours a day. Just his mere presence was a festival. He created a festive atmosphere wherever he went, just by the way he sang, the way he dealt with everyone. He created a festive atmosphere. In fact, Prabhupada said in one letter to him about his chanting, his kirtans, he said, when you were leading the kirtan in Los Angeles, I was feeling how by your chanting I was being carried to Vaikuntha. That's what Prabhupada said about his chanting. That's the way he chanted. There was so much depth of emotion and depth of feeling, so much ecstasy, so much nectar in his kirtan, that just by hearing his kirtan, you would feel how you were leaving the material world. It was like getting on an airplane and taking off, you know, another dimension of consciousness. So anyway, he attracted me to join this movement. And so I naturally, in his association, I got this idea, you know, that my duty in life was to spread this movement. That was my duty, you see. So I, when I got initiated, I wrote Prabhupada, I wrote Prabhupada to give him my Guru Dakshina. I was initiated by mail, as I explained last night. Prabhupada wasn't there at the ceremony. Vishnu Jamaraj did the yoga. And so I had to send my dakshina off to London, to Prabhupada. And I must have told Prabhupada that I wanted to spread this movement, because he wrote me back such a nice letter. I still have that letter. The original letter, he said that with his wonderful signature on it. So he said, I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. You're eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Prabhupada blessed me that Krishna would bless me if I always maintained my enthusiasm for pushing forward this Krishna consciousness movement. And what is said? And one should take the order of one's spiritual master as one's very life and soul, isn't it? Yeah. So I decided, well, I immediately picked up on this, and I dedicated myself to always being enthusiastic. And Prabhupada was right. Krishna did, and is blessing me. As I continue in this mood of wanting to push forward, being enthusiastic for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, I'm seeing more and more how Krishna is blessing me, more and more and more and more and more. So that instruction only for me? Was I some special devotee? No. I'm just a run-of-the-mill, you know, rank-and-file ISKCON member. That's all. That was anybody special. Of course, you could say that every ISKCON member is special, and that's true. You all are special. Krishna sees that you are very, each one of you is very special. You see, that's a fact. Devotees are not, we are not cookie cutter products, actually. You ever wonder why Krishna created so many living entities? You ever wonder why there's so many of us around? It's not by sex life, you know. It's by Krishna's plan. The jivas didn't come by sex life, you understand? Not because people were lusty, all these jivas have come out. No. Krishna wanted all these jivas to exist. So why did Krishna want them to exist? Anybody know why Krishna wanted all these jivas to exist? Well, Krishna's the supreme enjoyer. Rasaraj, you see. He is the king of rasa. So, just like consider a feast. Well, first consider this point. Krishna doesn't make any two living entities the same. Here you have many experiences in Toronto of snow. In Texas, we never see snow. But here you're seeing it. You have a very intimate rasa with snow here, I understand. So if you look, you take all of these snowflakes, millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and sextillions and octillions or whatever they call them, zillions of snowflakes, and you put them under a microscope, will you see that any two are the same? Each one has a beautiful, beautiful pattern. And there are no two snowflakes that are the same. When I was a school child, they taught us this. I was in a snowy area at that time in St. Louis. It snowed there a lot too. So we were taught that, and I was a child in the school. But no two snowflakes are exactly the same. So, in the same way, there are no two living entities that are exactly the same. Every single living entity has his or her own unique qualities and characteristics. So what does this have to do with so many of us being around? Here's how we can understand it. Let's say there's a big feast today, you know, it's a big special holiday, it's going to be a big, huge feast. And you go to the feast and you go, wow, I'm all set, been fasting, you know, all day, I'm ready for the big feast. And you go and, you know, they've got, every devotee has 45 katoris, you see. A big, huge platter with 40, in Fiji they actually have, they offered me a plate like that one time, it was this big, it had like 45 katoris on it, I couldn't believe it. But this, you sit down to a big platter with 45 katoris. Wow, I'm ready to get into it. You look at all the katoris, and this one has strawberry halva, and this one has strawberry halva, and this one has strawberry halva, and this one has strawberry halva. And you got 45 katoris of the same exact recipe of strawberry halva. You're going, now wait a minute. I thought this was a feast. Can you enjoy? I mean, of course you can enjoy a little halva, it's all right. But it's not like a feast, you understand? If every single katori has the same exact strawberry halva, then it, you know, it's not as enjoyable as if you have, you know, 45 different, or how about 1,045? I was with Tamal Krishnaraj when he had on his Vyas Puja, they offered him, this was in Fiji, they offered him 1,008 preparations. He took every one of them. Little tiny bite. He took 1,008 bites. They've been handing. We were in a line, actually. The God brothers were sitting right behind him in the line. But you know, they'd give him one. He'd down a little bit and pass it to the God brothers. And this way, 1,008 preps. It was really an ecstatic day. I never forget, in front of Krishna Kaliya in Fiji. And we had 1,008 preparations. And we enjoyed 1,008 different preparations. That was really an enjoyable feast, I can tell you. 1,008 preparations. That was really something. So the point is that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So you think he would enjoy having every single living entity to be the same type of personality? No. Every single jiva has their own unique qualities, characteristics. In each relationship, Krishna enjoys a different kind of flavor. There's not only five rasas, you understand? Five is just the five divisions of rasa, actually. But then each of those five primary rasas, there's millions and billions of sub-rasas, you understand? So every single jiva and throughout the whole existence has unique qualities, characteristics, and ways of associating with Krishna that nobody else can duplicate. You see? So Krishna has given every single devotee their own unique qualities and characteristics so he can enjoy a particular type of rasa, a particular taste, a particular flavor with that particular devotee that nobody else can offer to him. So what does this mean? This means that if you don't love Krishna, you're depriving him of a taste that he cannot get from any other means other than having your love. That's what it means. Is it? And all these jivas walking around Toronto, Krishna is missing that taste of their rasa, of that relationship with them. So when you can reconnect them with Krishna, you see, you're helping Krishna to be more happy because he's missing these people. They're his very dear children. He's missing them. He's missing that loving relationship with them. So therefore, anyone who revives their lost relationship with Krishna and then tries to help other people revive their lost relationship with Krishna is doing the greatest service to Krishna. There will never be one more dear than such a person. Therefore, there is no sweeter taste than the taste of preaching. There's no sweeter taste. If somebody, you know, has lost their child, you see, their child, it happens all the time, missing children. In the U.S., they have special signs on the freeway. If there's a kidnapping, you know, they'll post it on the freeway. A sign will come on the license plate number of the kidnapper and, you know, the information. So everybody can know and be on the lookout, you see, to get that missing child back for the parents. So, just imagine that person who actually finds the missing child and returns the missing child to the parents. How much the parents must feel gratitude and appreciation. You can't even describe how much gratitude they're going to feel, you know. Their child is missing. It's like worse than death for the parents if their child goes missing, you see. Worse than death. And when someone brings that child back to them, that person is bringing the life back to those parents. Even more, it's indescribable. You can say bringing their life back, but it's even more than that. He's restoring them to life by bringing their child back. You see. They were in a state worse than them. So that person who can actually help bring someone back to Krishna, you see, they become very, very dear to Krishna. So now today you're having a special Sankirtan marathon. I understand you've been greatly inspired by my beloved godbrother Vaisheshika Prabhu. I call him Vaisheshika Acharya because he's preaching with such one amazing potency. Vaisheshika Acharya. That's the name that I like to call him then. He has greatly inspired you all, and that is so wonderful thing. To go out and distribute books, just chant the holy name, distribute prasadam. So may you all be very blessed today on your marathon. I'm sending you off with my full well, all my greatest well wishes that I can possibly bestow upon all of you to be successful today in your preaching activities. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
What about the child who doesn't want to go back home?
Who doesn't?
The child who doesn't want to go back home.
The child. Yeah. That happens. They're called runaways. Many children like that back in the 60s, you know, they'd run away from home. And Berkeley, California, is one of the popular spots for all the runaways. So You would go in Berkeley, California. The parents would come and they put posters up all over Berkeley. Johnny, please come home. We love you. Susie, please come home. We love you. You know, call collect and we'll send your bus fare. So now sometimes that happens. The children don't want to go back. So if such a child who doesn't want to go back can be convinced to go back, then just imagine how dear you would be to the parents. Ultimately, everyone will go back. Do you know that? It's described in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You have read that quote. It's the ultimate destiny of every single jiva to go back to Godhead. The destiny of every jiva to go back. Sooner or later, everyone will go back. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when. That's all. Every single... Because we're all Krishna Das. We're all the servants of Krishna. Jivara Srupahai Krishna Aranitya Das. How long one can remain in an artificial position, trying to be an independent enjoyer, you see? How long you can continue with your masquerade that you are male, or you are female, you are Canadian, you are Russian, or whatever you may be, you see? How long you continue with a masquerade? Sooner or later, everyone will come back. So, of course, in preaching work, if someone is not antagonistic We try to find a way to get beyond their defenses. But if we're not successful, then go to someone else. When the medics go to the battlefield and there's hundreds of soldiers lying around, wounded, who do they go to? Those that they're most likely to save, you see. If there's a limited number of medics and an unlimited number of dying soldiers, who should the medics go to? Those they're most likely to save. So for preaching, we try to help those we're most likely to save. But our mood is that we want to save everyone without any discrimination. Therefore, this Harinam Sankirtan is very powerful. It's just everybody gets inundated. You know, within the radius of the sound vibrations, everyone gets inundated. And subtly, that Harinam actually impacts the entire universe, even beyond what can audibly be heard. There's a subtle vibration which permeates the whole universe. Every time devotees go on a Harinam, it's having an impact on the whole universe, not just the neighborhood. So, if someone doesn't want to go back, you should... your desire to get them back should be stronger than their desire not to go back, so that eventually you will predominate. It's like two fellows may arm wrestle, you know. One pushes this way, the other pushes this way. So the non-devotees are pushing, we want to be the enjoyers of this material world. We know that they're on a one-way street off a dead end. They're going a one-way street off of a cliff. They're going to certain destruction. So we want to convince them to turn around and go the other way so they can be happy, you see. So, they're pushing from their side, but we have to push harder, that's all. If they're pushing, no, I don't want to go back, we have to push even harder. No, you must go back. We have to out-push them. Of course, they say we're too pushy. Well, you just have to be subtly. You have to push in such a way they don't feel they're being pushed. That's the trick. Like Prabhupada was actually very pushy, but we didn't feel he was pushy. You understand? In other words, you have to track them. Just like Vishnu Jan Maharaj, he was very powerful, but you wanted. It was so. He made it so beautiful and so wonderful. You wanted to be sucked in. You understand? It's just a matter of being a good salesman, you know. You have to preach in such a way that everybody will want your product. Many years ago, I was studying marketing. Actually, not as a student, but as a devotee, trying to figure out how we could use marketing principles for pushing for this movement. And in marketing, I learned there's three principles. There's three requirements for it being having a successful marketing campaign. One is you have to find something that people need. Number two, you have to find a product that fulfills that need. And number three, you have to find the method of connecting the people with the product. So what is the greatest need in this world? Everyone is suffering, you see. Everyone's miserable. People need to be happy. The greatest need is to become happy. People are miserable because they're forced to get old, get sick, and die. And nobody wants to get old and get sick and die. So the greatest need is people are miserable. And we have just that product that will give unlimited happiness. You see, just that product. You understand? We have the very product that will give unlimited happiness to everyone. You see? So now all we have to do is find the way to distribute that product. You see? And then we are sitting on top of a marketing gold mine, the greatest marketing success in the history of the world, because we have a product, you see, much more valuable than Coca-Cola. We have a product much more valuable than Sex Life, which is actually the most popular product in the world right now, Sex Life. We have a product more valuable than Sex Life. I mean, look at the porno industry right now, how big it is. How many people get on the internet and look at pornography now. It's staggering. It staggers the brain. It's So many of people who are writing me in my e-course are having trouble trying to wean themselves off of porno on the internet. It's such a huge thing, you know. Everybody's running for sex. You see? But we have something more powerful, more attractive than sex. So it's just a matter of somehow, you know, connecting people. Finding the right way to advertise it and promote it. And then, you know, the whole world will be transformed. So it's up to the preacher to think how to present Krishna consciousness according to desha, kala, patra. Time, place, and circumstance. This is the preacher's exciting challenge. How to present it according to time, place, and circumstance so the whole world will want to chant Hare Krishna. If somebody gave you a microphone and they said, okay, here's the microphone. This microphone is going to every house in the whole world. Everybody will hear what you're saying and it'll be translated into all the languages of the world. You have 20 minutes to address the entire world population to convince them of Krishna consciousness. What would you say? You see, just you can make an experiment. Just go home in the privacy of your room, sit down, put on your tape recorder or your MP3 recorder nowadays, new technology. For 20 minutes now, you have a chance to convince the whole world to take up Krishna consciousness. What would you say? Try it. It'd be a good training exercise. And then you can use that when you go out on Sankirtan. Just what you were... You can use those same ideas when you're out on Sankirtan. What would you say to convince the entire world to take up Krishna consciousness? How do you present... Here's another one. How do you present Krishna consciousness in such a way... It's not a cult or a religion. You know, a brainwashed cult, like they say we are. I was approached in the Fiji airport in Nandi, Fiji, by an atheist. He saw me there standing in line, you know, checking my bags in. He saw, oh, here's a religious person. Ha ha ha. Let me have a little fun and defeat him. He was in that mood. I could see it on his face. He had that smirk, you know, that atheistic smirk. He's ready to smash me, you know. And he said, what is your philosophy? And I knew exactly, I knew what I was dealing with. So I told him, know who you are and be who you are. Couldn't say a word. Because that is our mission. Want everybody to know who they are. That's Gyan, and then Vigyan is how to be who you are. You see, that's it. Our philosophy in a nutshell is know who you are and be who you are. How many people would say, no, I don't want to know who I am? What if I told you, sir, that you are the inheritor of the greatest fortune in the history of the universe? You didn't realize that your lost relative was the wealthiest person, even more wealthy than Bill Gates, and all you have to do is reclaim your actual identity. And then you're sitting on top of the greatest fortune that's ever been amassed in the history of the world. Would you be interested to know who you are? No, I don't care. Let me just watch some television. Would you like to know who you are if you, by finding out, you would inherit a wealth greater than the greatest wealth, become more wealthy than Bill Gates or any of those big guys, you know? Would you like to have such a wealth? Well, I know who you are. And if you'd like to tell you, like me to tell you, I'll tell you who you are, and you'll be qualified to regain that wealth that's greater than any wealth that anybody in this entire universe possesses, even Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigod. Would you like to know who you are? You see, who wouldn't want to know? If by finding out you qualify to inherit a wealth greater than it ever been conceived of in the history of the universe. You see? So that's what we are offering people. We're offering them that. We're willing to tell them who they actually are, their actual identity beyond this temporary body, and how to actually fully revive it and live in it at every second. With every thought, every word, every deed, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. So anyway, my time is up, I think. If you get out there and save the fallen souls, make a revolution today and chant in such a way that the whole Canada will want to join this movement. Chant with such feeling, such depth of emotion. Actually, Prabhupada told us in San Francisco, he said, of course the same thing applies to Canada, but he was in America. Is it, you know, the same North American culture pervades Canada and the U.S.? He said the entire world, he says, everywhere I've traveled all over the world, I am seeing that they are having skyscraper buildings in imitation of your country. You've seen the video. Yeah, she's nodding, blissfully nodding. Many of you have probably seen it. It's on your Everwell Wisher movie. He said, so if you will chant and dance in the ecstasy of emotional love of God, then what did he say? The whole world will join you, there'll be no trouble, something like that. The whole world will join you if you will sing and dance in emotional love of God. So it's not wrong to be emotional. We should actually try to awaken the spiritual emotions within the heart when we chant Hare Krishna. Emotional love of God. Not some sahaja thing where we make artificial show, you know, rolling on the floor or something like that. I'm not saying that. But you should try to awake genuine chant with such depth of feeling that you, the genuine spiritual emotions become awakened within the heart. That we should do. If we can chant in that way, you see, then the people will be changed. Just like when Prabhupada was a small child, he did one play of Lord Chaitanya Lila. You may have heard this. He was a small, you've heard that. He was doing a drama. And they performed it and they looked at it and nobody was applauding. You know, usually you applaud when you like it, right? They looked out at the audience after they did the play and nobody was applauding. And they looked closer, everyone was crying. Yeah. You see, that is a greater applause, you see, when people are crying. That is bigger than applause, you see. People are crying. So we should make our kirtan so, in such depth of feeling, so greatly feeling this mercy of Krishna appearing in the form of the holy name, that people will just, their hearts will melt. You see, that's how you should chant today in your high number. Yes?
You said how we should become good marketers. You know, so what if we don't possess that skill, or we're not very good at selling our product?
Then be an apprentice marketeer. Find devotees who are expert marketeers and learn from them. Hear how they preach, see how they preach. You see? Be an apprentice marketeer. And then you today's apprentice is tomorrow's master. I have that desire, you see. It's like when I'm around, when devotees are very expert preachers, I love to hear their preaching techniques, how they explain the philosophy this way and that way. Prabhupada is the most expert, you see. By reading Prabhupada's books, you can learn so many things, and others who preach very expertly the message of Prabhupada, we hear from them, you see. You should bow down to such preachers, you should serve them and hear from them. In this way, you can quickly imbibe their secret techniques and become an expert marketeer yourself. Any other questions? Well, I could say it's so nice being here with you all, but I'll be cheating you if I keep you here. So get out of here. Go out and save the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'll be receiving you back and to hear the reports and give you a welcome back lecture. So please come back, but loaded with all kinds of good reports.